We'll daven Ma'ariv right after the shiur. David Schwartz is about to go out on his first date with Rifki Cohn. As the time for the date approaches, he feels a pit in his stomach. Not only because he's not sure how he can keep at least 2 hours of conversation, because he's hesitant about which place is in vogue to go, or because he's not sure how their families might mix. He knows that 10 years ago, when he was adolescent, he had a panic attack. Anxiety disorders, what used to be known, sometimes panic attacks used to be known as nervous breakdowns, are, according to current statistics, experienced at least once in the life of 10% of the population. That means one out of every 10 of us, sometime in our lives, might have an anxiety attack. Anxiety attack doesn't just mean, oh, it's finals and I feel nervous. Anxiety attack means that a severe situation which encompasses the entire body, which often requires hospitalization. One out of 10 people can experience such a situation sometime in their lives. Anxiety disorders are the most commonly diagnosed mental health disorders. It's almost hard to say the disorders, they're so common. Yet David's concerned when he meets Rifki. Should he tell her on the first date? Third date? If it works out right before they get engaged? Or maybe never? This scene is replayed hundreds and hundreds of times with individuals that are dating. There can be mental health issues, family issues, physical health issues, private matters, public matters. So many people have vicissitudes, normal ups and downs in life. Often, oneself, one's friends, one's family can deal with them. But what happens when an individual is starting a new relationship? He's about to meet Rifki. How does he deal with the Rifki in his life in terms of keeping it a secret or telling his past? This is not a new phenomenon. Perhaps it's more complicated in today's dating scene, but it's discussed by the Poskim, most notably the Chafetz Chaim. And before we begin to see the sources inside, keep in mind, there are a few people that have to ask themselves this question. Number one, it's the person going out, the male or female on the date. Number two, the shadchan, the one who very well might know the situation and is ready in the shidduch. Number three, a good family friend that sees all of a sudden David and Rifki are going out, yet he's concerned, hold on, did he ever share what happened in adolescence with his soon-to-be kala? Many people are encapsulated in this very significant shaila. Please make sure to have handouts in front of you. If you don't have handouts, they're circulating. There are some extra on the bima here as well. The Chafetz Chaim, in the very, very end, the last halacha in all Sefer Chafetz Chaim, discusses this scenario. Says the Chafetz Chaim at the end of the Hilchos Rechilus, there are certain situations that a person must say negative information regarding the shidduch. part one, source one, says the Chofetz Chaim, Im hu roeh, if he sees, she'echad rotze l'shtadef im echad, that Reuven wants to get engaged to Leah, wants to go out with Leah, v'yadua l'roeh hazeh, it's well known to this person who is involved, ki ha'chasan yeshlo, the potential chasan has, chesronos atzumim, very significant defects. Chesronos atzumim. Undefined, but presuming he does have a significant defect, continuing the end of the bold, v'ilu hayayodeya, had the family known about this chasan, v'hoye misratza lezeh, they never would have acquiesced. Yesh l'dalos lo. One is required to discuss it. One's required to reveal it. Look very carefully at the Chafetz Chaim. Says the Chafetz Chaim, who are we talking about in such a situation? Im hu roeh, if he sees. Is that the potential chasan or potential kala? Who's the hu roeh? He sees. Clearly, that's a third party. Who means someone else? If someone else sees that a potential chasan is going out seriously with a potential kala, they might get engaged, and he knows the other underlying point, that the chasan has chesronos atzumim, very serious defects, he's a mandated reporter. He must discuss it. He's not the chasan. He's not the kala, he's not a brother, he's not a sister, he's not a shadchan. A person who just sits next to him in the shtibel. A person who's privy to that information, perhaps even a doctor, perhaps a lawyer, perhaps a psychiatrist, perhaps a psychologist. Im hu roeh, if he sees it, says the Chafetz Chaim, he must report it to the potential father-in-law, mother-in-law, and kala to be. So seems to say the Chafetz Chaim. Of course, depends on how we define chesronos atzumim, what's a major concern. But it's important to realize that this Chafetz Chaim is talking about a mandated reporter as a contemporary sefer, known as the Nesiv Chaim. The second source on Sefer Chafetz Chaim points out, Haino afiu im tzad hasheni eino sholo. This is nothing to do with a request. It's not as if you get a phone call. Oh, hi, you live in Shiran Hills, do you know about the Cohen family? You know about the Schwartz family? You know about the Levy family? No. Even if you're just sitting there and watching it take place, you have to get up out of your chair and make a phone call or send an email to stop the shidduch from taking place. Mandated reporting. The Chafetz Chaim, a few sentences later, expands on this idea. What does it mean, chesronos atzumim? Major significant concerns. Says the Chafetz Chaim, I'll give you an example. Im hechesaron, if the concern, humisad choli gufo, it's a physical health matter, yamechutzon eino makir oso, number one, the person, the kala's family doesn't know about it. Why? Mitzad shudavar panimi. It's something which is clearly internal. So right away we see the Chafetz Chaim is expanding and contracting at the same time. He's telling us, what if it's something which people will notice when they meet the person? Something readily visible. Should you feel, I know, this is not Lashon Hara, this is a mitzvah for me to do, I better go and tell the people. No. If it's something which they can see themselves, reasonably, it's not panimi. It's not something which is internal. Something which is readily visible, there's no need for you to do anything. So this is an important caveat, says the Chafetz Chaim, only if it's something which you know they will not be able to discern on a first, second, third, or fourth date. But if reasonably they could determine it themselves, there's no need for you to report altogether. But says the Chafetz Chaim, if it's something which you know is a secret, and you can make or break the shidduch, Chafetz Chaim makes his own sort of drasha. He says, we have two psukim that are near each other in source 4. Al zeh nemru smuchin. Here we have two psukim near each other in the Torah it made sense to us sometimes, Chazal have the power to see if Pasuk A is next to Pasuk B, that's teaching us something. So the Chavetz Chaim, we have two Pesukim, Lo Serech Rachel Ve'Amecha, don't be a peddler of Lashon Hara. At the same time, Lo Samar Al Zamre'echa, don't stand idly by your brother's blood. How can you be there and witness a situation where a person is going to get engaged, where there's a terrible chisarum, and not do anything? It says the Chavetz Chaim again, it's only if there would be another way for them to know. The Chavetz Chaim keeps on saying a word, chasronos asumim, major concerns. What does that mean? What's a major concern? He mentions some. Chavetz Chaim says, for example, let's say the person has even a little bit of apikarsis. Rachman al-Tzlan, if there's a little bit of apikarsis, you can't plant a solid foundation of a beautiful family if one of the spouses, says the Chavetz Chaim, is going to consider going off the derech, chas v'shalom. That's a major chisarum. A serious health issue is another chisarum. But what about other situations? What's considered a major concern? What is a chisarun asum? This is an issue discussed by the Shuvas Chavis Yair several centuries ago. The Chavis Yair says, we know, of course, nowadays, the way a person gets married, go on a date, meet the person, get engaged. It's machokas within different circles. Do you have to get the ring before you get engaged? Is it really pasnish? You can't go out with a person in public before you get engaged, so you have to only get a bracelet which you can buy without the person knowing, then get the ring afterwards. Do you do both? Do you do neither? How many thousands of dollars do you waste? I mean, do you spend on these situations? All the major yusodos. Check the pages of your local Jewish magazine, which often writes articles which might be permissible or not permissible to read about these matters. But says the Chavis Yair, that's not the way that it always happens. It used to be that traveling was expensive. Sometimes you hear there's a really nice girl in another town and you want to get married. The problem is you can't travel to meet her for a date and get engaged, then travel again for the wedding. So you let someone else do the traveling for the date and for the engagement, and you'll travel there for the wedding. We know this, those of us that were in the Mar Kiddushin know this halacha from the Mishnah and Kiddushin. You can Mekadesh get engaged through a shliach. Here they didn't actually get engaged, they just promised to get married without meeting each other. And then the chassan finds out, oh no, there's something wrong. She doesn't like the same coffee I like. Big concern. You know, the Beis Din in my town and the Beis Din in her town is not going to break the shidduch based upon our difference in coffees. I like instant, she likes screwed. So I need to find something. So he does some research. He finds out that, I kid you not, says the Chavis Yair, in the bold, Shama, source 5, Shehakala Malas Mum. She has a blemish. What's the blemish? Sheyeshla Chotam Aruch Yoser Min Haro'i. Her nose is too long. Ah, that's already something legitimate. Now, why is that legitimate? Says the Chavis Yair, that happens to be a Gemara. The Gemara says that when a Kohen has the privilege of being Oved in the Beis HaMikdash, which we should see soon as Hashem, if a Kohen is a Balmum, if a Kohen has any deformity, we have nothing against him, Chas V'Shalom, but it's not appropriate for him to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And says the Gemara in Ksuvos, whatever type of mum is listed as a Kohen, not being a perfect specimen for Avodah, is also a mum in terms of getting married. If you marry someone, and you find out only afterwards they have the same physical blemish that would have rendered a Kohen unfit for the Avodah, you can call off the Shidduch. The Shidduch was not made in good faith. One of the psulim of the Kohen is if his nose is disproportionate. Doesn't mean slightly off. Doesn't mean chas v'shalom that the halacha is condoning a nose job. It seems different ways to read the Gemara. Either his nose is significantly wider by fingers than the average person's or longer. The way the Chavis Yair seems to say, this chassan heard that his kala's nose was longer than her small finger, than her pinky. Now, had it not been in the realm of halacha, it's inappropriate to talk about. We know that people are much more than physical features. This is the halacha. This is the stuff in halacha. This chassan wanted to break it off because he heard his kala's nose was longer than her pinky. Now, really, that was a pretense. In reality, what was bothering him was that she actually liked instant coffee. This is Tavshin Ayin Gimel. She likes instant coffee. But he needed to find the pretense, so instead he found the pretense of having her nose too long. And it's rigorously defined in Gemara. It's a psul for a kohen. It's a psul for a wife. Oh. Case seems to be closed. Says the Chavos Yair, not so fast. The basic idea of the Gemara is that each generation has to determine what's considered normal, what's considered abnormal for them. What's within the bell curve? What's outside the bell curve? What's considered a blemish? Says the Chavos Yair, if it happens in the bottom of page 1, bold, source 5, She'ein rov b'nei adam. So kachin aleha, most people don't laugh, don't sneer. Ein v'dar of klum. That's not a concern. The Gemara says that's a problem as far as a kohen. Yes, it might be true for a person who has the unique luchos to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. At some time, says the Chavos Yair, a very bold statement, it was presumed that people were machped on such a situation. But says the Chavos Yair, nowadays, no one cares about it. People are not so superficial. Yes, it remains a psul for a kohen, but it's not a psul for people getting married. A tremendous statement. What's the Chavos Yair really saying? How do we define chisaron atzum, a major concern? Clearly, it's a concern that most people will be concerned about. But if it's not something most people are deeply concerned about, there's no problem at all. And what's amazing about the Chavos Yair is that he's saying, even though Gemara might seem to say to the contrary, all the Gemara means, we have to go and take a survey, see what most people are concerned about. If most people aren't concerned about a given situation, it's not, there's no need for you to report it altogether. And says the Chavos Yair, the same thing applies also. Let's say a person has a very serious physical blemish that's not discussed in the Gemara, but contemporary people are concerned about it, then that would be a reason to say the kedushin would not be, the shidduch would not be valid. Now again, it's only talking about a situation where they didn't meet each other first. They didn't even go on site to see each other. But if they met each other, of course we presume they said, oh, they met each other and then things are fine. So says the Chavos Yair. So far we've seen the Chavos Yair says, kisaron atzum, a major concern. What's a major concern? What most people nowadays consider a major concern. It might change based upon each generation.
Something like a nose be something that's readily visible?
You're right, it's readily visible, but in this situation it seems that you're saying he might have been silly, but he decided to be cheap and get engaged to her without even seeing her. So he didn't do his due diligence. The Haraya, he didn't even know that she likes instant coffee never. So therefore, he didn't really do his background checks. He wants to use this as a way of getting out. So the Chavos Yair, no, that's it, grow up. That's not concerned. Either the Gemara, is irrelevant. So we see, yes, there's indeed a need to report, but only something people really concern themselves with, most people, most of the time. Let's argue for a minute that a person indeed does have a very serious concern, but not so serious that most people would be mocked on it. Yet it's very serious. Is there a need then to talk about it? Chavos Chaim doesn't really discuss it. Chavos Chaim says, chisaron atzum, a very serious concern must be disclosed, perhaps by the chassan, even if it's not by the chassan or the tala, by someone else as well. What about in a larger situation? Something which might not be so major. Here we have a phenomenal, unbelievable chiddush of the stipler. It's funny, to young people nowadays, one might say the stipler was the father of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Of course, to anyone that knows the stipler, Reb Chaim Kanievsky is the son of the Stipler Gaon. Stipler wrote Svarim and Olav Shas, Chilas Yaakov, known as one of the great Tzaddikim Lamdanim, was Nifter not so long ago. The Stipler Gaon writes, in the middle of his Chidushim HaNoseches Yevamos, somewhere where you not think he's talking about Shidduchim, a phenomenal Shiloh that happened to him, Halacha L'maisa. A man had surgery, very serious surgery, and the surgery was done in a way that it impacted his life. Yet, not completely. They came to the discipler and said to the discipler, my life was impacted. Do I need to tell someone I'm going out with before we get married that I had this surgery? Says the discipler, well, it depends. Depends on what would happen. Let's say this didn't happen to you now before you got married. This happened to you after you got married. Or you only disclosed it, let's say, after you got married. Let's say what had happened to you after you got married. Would your wife have actually divorced you because of it? Alternatively, let's say you never told her, and then all of a sudden 5 years later you tell her, would she say, what? You have such a serious concern? I can't live with that. I can't have that life. I would never want to stay married. Says the stipler, if that's the extent of the concern, then you need to tell. But anything short of a situation where a person will not, 1, 2, 3, dismiss the relationship entirely, don't ask, don't tell. Unbelievably so, says the stipler, if it's something which people will not forfeit the entire relationship because of afterwards, there's no need to disclose it all to them. Let's see the stipler, says the stipler, source 1, in the bold, the end. Kol kahai gavna, in any case, shebidyeved, that had it already happened, lo yirtze levatzer el kinyan, they would never rened. They would not want to be mevatzer. They say, okay, you know, I would have liked to know beforehand, but once we're married, we'll make do. Like most situations, life has ups and downs. If the couple would say, once we find out, we'll deal with it. Af al pi sheyesh bo mumzeh, even though there's a shemum, l'chashiv gonev das. It's not gonev das. You're not pulling the wool of anyone's eyes. That's totally legitimate. But mashal osiper kol mumav, that you didn't disclose all your private situations. Says the stipler, the only time you need to tell is if had they found out, they would undoubtedly hold off the shidduch. Or maybe at a divorce, then you need to tell. But barring that, there's no need to discuss anything. Is the stipler like the Chafetz Chaim or against the Chafetz Chaim? He really just says the words Chisaron Atzum. The Chafetz Chaim said Chisaron Atzum. Says the stipler, what is Chisaron Atzum? What is a major blemish? If they would have pulled everything off because of it, then you have to tell. Anything short of that? Never tell till their dying day. Keep it secret. Says the stipler, I'll bring you a ride from a Gemara. I'll prove it. Says the stipler. There's a big discussion. We know, of course, one of the basic ideas that we know in Orthodox Judaism is that if, God forbid, a non-Jewish person marries a Jewish woman, a non-Jewish man marries a Jewish woman, what's the status of the child? The child is a bona fide Jew. Counts for a minyan. Eved v'alkama babas Yisrael. Avad kosher. That's how we passed it. The Vlad is totally kosher. So the Gemara says, there was once a child whose mother was Jewish and whose father wasn't, who came to Rav. Said to Rav, Rav, what's the halacha? Am I allowed to marry a Jewish woman? Rav said, yes. So he said, okay, Rav, I'd like to marry your daughter. Said Rav, no. You can marry a Jewish woman, not my daughter. So says the person whose father was a guy back, what do you mean? It's very nice to pass this way in the Beis Medrash, but you're not passing this way halacha l'maisa. He uses the phrase, damo v'madai akava rafta. They say that far off in Madai, there are camels that dance on small baskets. So now I have it, and now I'm in Madai, I have a camel, I have a small basket, and it's not dancing. It's a Chutzpah way of saying, it's very nice, it's nice to say halacha, it's nice to say in theory, but you're not passing that way. Now, imagine the Chutzpah, this person said it to Rav. The Gemara continues, he said it to Rav, Rav looked at him, and he died. Now it's probable that Rav didn't do it intentionally. Rav was such a great tzaddik, the Gemara talks about Rav as being a tremendous chassid, he never even looked outside his Dalet Amos, he was a very private person. When such a great tzaddik looks at the person, then if he's inappropriate, he just died. But then the Gemara continues, he also went to Rav Yehuda. Now probably he came to Rav Yehuda before he went to Rav, because once he went to Rav, he was already no longer able to come. So he went to Rav Yehuda also. He said, Rav Yehuda, I want to marry your daughter. So Rav Yehuda says, no, sorry, it's not going to work. You see a theme here. And it's probable there was other reasons that these Amorim didn't want him as a son-in-law. Maybe not just because he was a product of a father who was non-Jewish. So he said, who's going to marry me? What can I do? I go on Y2X, I write, my father's a non-Jew, no one's going to marry me. What do I do? So Rav Yehuda, since he didn't speak chutzpah to Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said to him, Zil, Itmar. What's Itmar? Rashi points out in source 3, in part 2, what is Itmar? Zil Itmar, Leich b'makam shelo yakirucha. Go to a place that they don't recognize you. V'sabas Yisrael. And marry a nice Jewish woman. Disguise your yichus. Go somewhere else, they don't know of you. And he went in front of Rava also. Rava said the same thing to him. Rava, in source 2, the very last line in source 2, Gali. What's Gali? Rashi points out, go to Galus. Go somewhere they don't know your yichus. So it's a cipher. Hold on a second. Hold it there. The Amorim said that you can go somewhere else, disguise your yichus, and get married to a girl. Now clearly you're not discussing it. Because if you were discussing it, they probably wouldn't marry you. The point of Gali, the point of going into Golus, is that you can totally disguise your yichus and not let anyone know. Says the stipler, hold on a second. If you need to tell, if you must tell everyone your yichus eventually, what does it help to go into Golus? Good deal. People are going to find out. Says the stipler, you see clear from the Gemara, black on white, that if the fact that you can hide it works, that's good enough. Says the stipler, presumably as long as people are not going to break the Shidduch L'gamri, had they known, you don't need to tell them. Again, why? Because we told this person, a priori, go into Golus, disguise your yichus, and get married. Clearly that means that you're able to pull a fast one on the people that are going to marry you. You never disclose it. That's the benefit of Golus. If you're never going to disclose it, that means, says the stipler, if there's something which is not considered a major, major chisaron in the world of Shidduchim, using the lashon of the Chafetz Chaim, you're able to keep it to yourself forever. So the stipler is saying, halacha l'maaseh, back to this buffer that was probably in Bnei Brak, that had very serious surgery which affected his life. But says the stipler, l'maaseh, if that happens, if it eventually came out after you were married for a long time, they wouldn't divorce you, therefore, you don't even need to say a thing. We have the same policy as the U.S. Army did. Don't ask. Don't tell. No need to know. What you don't know can't hurt you. An unbelievable chiddush. That means most things, short of total deal breakers, can remain skeletons in the closet for a person's entire life. Says Dr. Abraham, in his beautiful Sefer Nishmas Avraham, hold on a second. I understand the stipler, but not everyone agrees. Nishmas Avraham quotes, although it seems that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach does agree to the stipler, Rav Eliashiv Zatzal disagreed. He quotes from Rav Eliashiv, at the time he wrote it, Rav Eliashiv was still alive, in source 4, Ach Shamati Me'adron Rav Yosef Shlomo Eliashiv Shehu Cholek Alakilos Yaakov. He argues on the stipler. He says, no, any normal concern that people would reasonably be concerned about, you need to share. I wasn't the stipler of Gemara. The stipler quoted Gemara. We told this guy, we gave him advice. We said, go to Golus and decide your yichus. So how does Rav Yashiv say, anything which people might be concerned about, you have to share? Says Rav Yashiv, I'll tell you. Halacha l'maisa. A person who is the product of a father who is a non-Jew and a mother who is a Jew. Can they get an aliyah on Shabbos? Yes. Can they part of a minyan? Yes. Are the kids full-fledged Jews? Yes. What's the concern? The concern is people will schmooze. People care about this person here, which he's engaged to a person whose father is not even Jewish. It's all perception. Says Rabbi Yashi, if it's a matter of perception, go to a place where people don't perceive it. There's no problem with perception. So Rabbi Yashiv, if the whole concern is what people are going to say, then if as long as there's no people, and there's no going to say, there's no problem. However, if it's a real psul bedruf, if it's a concern physically, that people are not just perceiving as a concern, but it's an actual concern, then you need to tell. So again, the stipler says, from the Gemara that says we advise a person to know the Golus, anything short of a major deal breaker, you're allowed to keep to yourself. So the Yashiv, no, that's only something which is based on perception. If it's only based on perception, disguise the perception, disguise the reality, no one will know, you don't need to say anything. But if it's a real physical concern that can affect people's life physically, then indeed you need to tell, even if it wouldn't be a deal breaker. So we have on the one side the cipher that says most things can be kept secret. The Yashiv seems to say most things, many things have to be told. The question is when. It's an issue many discuss, many contemporaries Sfarim discuss, that it makes sense there's no need to have to, for a chazan to have to disclose it on the first date. Yet there are very few makaros, very few sources that actually prove it. One very beautiful approach, phraseology, was something I heard from Rav Schechter a few years ago. Rav Schechter pointed out, what happens if a person is going out on a date, he says, "Hi, my name is David. I'm depressed." What happens when you see that person? There's one word you see in front of your face. Depressed. You don't see David. You don't see a smile. You don't see a kempt person. You see depression. Is that true? We know that David is a person. Unfortunately, part of his life is depression. That's not who he is. In fact, one of the current methods of psychotherapy is called narrative therapy. Narrative therapy tells people that if you have anything, anxiety, depression, anger, instead of viewing it as part of you, take it out of yourself and put it on a chair next to you. Speak to your anger. Tell your anger, you know, I really don't like when you come into me. You make me do things that are really difficult. Now, of course, it's more complex than that, but externalization, the fact that we can take out midos that are part of us and say, it's not part of me, it's just there, can be very therapeutic. Yet, the flip side happens when David says, "Hi, my name is David, I'm depressed." The D remains, but the OVD disappears, and instead, we see depression. Says Rav Schechter, in order to be real MS, in order to tell the MS, the only way a person can accurately portray himself is if he goes out on a few dates. After a few dates, you see, there's a whole persona here. And then on date, let's say 6, 7, 8, for example, he says, "I happen to be suffering now from, I'm going through a niseyon of depression." Then, she can see, this is a great person. There are many positive attributes. Footnote, there's also depression. Which is more MS? The fact that he defines himself by his mental health issue, or that he puts it in context, and you can see the whole person? Says Rav Schechter, more MS is the latter. If you wait and delay, that's more truthful than the distortion that would happen if he discloses in the beginning. Rav Schechter doesn't prove it. He quotes Monsieur Sharma, might say the same thing as far as business. If let's say I'm trying to sell a couch, and they say, "Hi, this couch is ripped in the middle, but it's a really nice couch." What's the person who's going to, who's looking to buy it going to do? Go find the other couches. But if I say, "Look at this beautiful couch, look at the fine workmanship, look at the gorgeous leather it has. They don't make things like this." Happens to be right here, if you look carefully, there's a bit of a rip. But take it in context, then I might be, then the person might consider buying the couch. The Seal Jerome says that's part of MS and Metal America. Says the same thing was true as far as relationships. You have to look at the person in context, which can only be accurately portrayed after meeting the person for a while. Other Sfarim say the same thing, but it's something which seems to be axiomatic without any concrete evidence. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to be the same, say the same thing as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked at the end of page 2, moving to page 3. What happened? The woman was in a secular college and unfortunately had a full college experience, some of which she's ashamed of. There was promiscuity that was around, and she did not want to, she unfortunately could not resist temptations being involved in inappropriate behavior. And she has terrible charata. She writes to Rav Moshe, "What should I do?" Rav Moshe writes, "It's important that you get married." So Rav Moshe, it's also important that eventually you disclose it to the person you're going to marry. But he says Rav Moshe, in the top of page 3, very bottom of page 2, "Ava Enoch," now the top of page 3, "Enoch Tzvichel Hadid Lo Berir V'Hachara D'Pam Rishona." You don't need to tell him on the first date. In you don't even know if he's going to want it altogether. You can't tell it to them. Rav Moshe even points out it might be an Averos. You can't just say our Averos. The only time we publicly declare Averos are Asham Nubadan Yom Kippur. We all say the same text. But if God forbid I do a private Aveira, I should keep it to myself. I can't. It's a chutzpah for me to talk about Averis I did. So Rav Moshe, you can't tell it to every person you go out with. It's an Avera you're saying publicly. So Rav Moshe seems to say a similar idea to Rav Shapter's approach. Don't say it on the first date. Better late than never. So in this section we've seen quite a spectrum. On the one hand, the Sipher says, unless it's a major, major concern for most people, that most people would actually break the shidduch, no need to tell. Rav Yashar says, no. You need to tell anything which is reasonably a concern. Either way, Rav Moshe says, even if you're telling, use your head. Don't do it the first date. Pragmatically, it depends greatly on what's accepted. As Rav Willard points out, there's a sefer called Kol Tzvi. It's a Kovetz, a collection of articles put out by the Kol Elyon of Yeshua's Ben Yosef Elchanan. It's coming out, it's still in process of being published. In this most recent volume, Rav Willard also says, he thinks in general it makes sense to perhaps wait till half. Whatever the normal statute of limitations are going out with in your culture is, wait till half the time. Is that, does that mean din? We go out 12 times, this is number 6. Wait till number 7, I'm violating the din. No, it means use your head. In reality, make sure it's kept in context. So you have to be honest and forthright, yet use your head. That's the approach. Others say maybe third. It's not, what's important is not the exact fraction. Keep it at a time which you can have a relationship and still disclose. That's the approach of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shapter, Rav Willard, keep it in context. However, there's another phenomenon of Moshe Feinstein which seems to say, maybe disagreeing with the other approach, maybe it's quantified, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, what happens in a situation, in part 3, what happens in a situation where a person is suffering from possible inability to have a child? Medically, she's not sure. Doctors aren't sure if she's going to be able to have a child. And maybe if she can, she'll have a smaller family rather than a larger family. So Rav Moshe, come on, so many maybes. The doctors aren't even sure if she has any concern altogether. Even if she does, many people like small families. What's the concern? So Rav Moshe, there's no need to tell. So Rav Moshe, put together all the sfeikos. We're not even sure if it exists altogether, and even if it does, maybe it won't impair you. If it does impair you, maybe it's only going to be that you're going to have a limited family. Maybe he actually likes small families. In the bowl, so Rav Moshe, Part 3, Source 1 in the bold, Al Kabanim, Kevin Sheniptan HaSafek. Since the Safek is so small, Eini Roeh Sheichayev Gadaloseh. I don't see their need to talk about it altogether. That is amazing. Think about it. Rav Moshe says, because you're not sure, many people would like to at least know the facts beforehand. Rav Moshe says, there's no need to disclose it altogether since the Safek. Maybe. Therefore, don't talk about it. This Rav Moshe might be against the other Rav Moshe that seems to say you can wait a little bit and then you have to dispose. Rav Moshe says there's no need to talk about it altogether. Very interesting Rav Moshe. And some postum are very concerned about this Rav Moshe Feinstein. They find it hard to understand. Again, Rav Moshe might be saying that since the suffix is so small, there's no need to talk about it. Yes, the person might have very, very, very serious disease, Rav Hanolzan, there's a 1% chance. So Rav Moshe says, 1% chance, I'm just throwing in the 1% part. No need to tell. This Rav Moshe is astonishing, though, in that it says, once the suffix is very small, though people might want to know, there's no need to tell altogether. That's the condition of Rav Moshe Feinstein, which has to be examined further. Rav Moshe even writes, you know what? Just be safe. Make up, you and your father make up, that if 5 years, unfortunately, you're not able to have children, then you'll get divorced without any problems. And then, things will be okay. People might say, what do you mean, get divorced without any problems? No such thing. Divorce without any problems, those two words cannot coexist. Divorce, Rav Hanolzan, always has a problem. You can't just say, you know what, wait it out for 5 years and then decide. So the Rav Moshe is a very serious issue that has to be dealt with. It's possible Rav Moshe is limited in this situation to a case where a person has a very, very small chance and therefore there's really no need to tell. But Rav Moshe, this Rav Moshe in part 3 is indeed a chiddush. We've seen so far, there's a discussion. Everyone agrees major, major concerns have to be discussed. The question is, what about less major but still very serious? Cyprus says no need. Rav Yashar says yes, you have to tell. Rav Moshe seems to say wait a little bit later until the relationship can be taken in context. But let's take a step back for a minute and think. What happens? The person went to the doctor and he heard there's a 2% chance he has a very serious illness, Rechon Olsan. Then he starts dating and eventually finds the right person to marry. And 2 years later, his wife finds out that he never told her. Baruch Hashem, things are okay. There's no concern. But he never shared with her the fact that he was scared once to the doctor that said there's a 2% chance of him having his life turned upside down. What's that going to do to the relationship? It depends. There might be some relationships in which they're parallel. He's a very special cousin. She's a very special Kala. And they have lives which are private as well as that overlap. And therefore, he has his private life, she has her private life. They don't talk that much, necessarily. And they're happy with that relationship. Maybe. The fact that he didn't discuss it with her will be totally fine. But what if we're talking about a typical American Orthodox family in which literature shows, as my wife pointed out in her Klaus Perspectives article that came out last summer, and secular literature as well as Jewish literature points out, the general presumption is most people in our culture enter a marriage looking for a best friend. It's Matthias. Good, bad, irrelevant right now. That's the presumption most people have. Today, in Tav Shinai and Gimel, might not always have been that way in our culture, but right now, that is the presumption people have when they enter marriage. Therefore, putting all these ideas aside, it might be that indeed a person doesn't have an absolute halachic chiyuv to tell, but use sense. Sense, which is not so common. And realize that indeed, there's no need to tell mitzad hilchos lashon hara, there's need to tell mitzad hilchos shalom bayis. This is an idea conveyed by a person who arguably was not in the American Jewish culture, the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish, you're right. There might be situations where a person doesn't need to disclose it. But this is quoted in a contemporary sefer called Binas HaShidduch. Quotes from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. The quotes from the Chazon Ish. What the lot of a person once was previously married. And maybe he determines it won't bother her. He doesn't need to tell. Doesn't want to tell. Or previously engaged. He says, you know what? This person will love me for who I am. I don't need to tell. Says the Chazon Ish, it depends. Depends on your culture. If in your culture, that's something which people want to know about, says the Chazon Ish in the Bold, part 4, source 1, Gam ein ze me'at tevuna. It's not smart. V'hastir davar. Shebesofo yisdale. To hide something which eventually is going to be disclosed. V'ataromes tisha'er v'chol ha'chaim. Rachmano l'tzlan. The tension, the ill will, the disagreement will remain for a lifetime. To me, this is perhaps the most important part of our entire discussion tonight. Halacha, maybe yes, you have to disclose certain things, maybe you don't need to disclose other things. But says the Chazon Ish, you say Chalal Yashar, all you need is for it to be disclosed later on, and think how it's going to have such a negative impact in the relationship. And it's interesting, there are many discussions quoted in the postum. A person had a situation where this happened to her, or this happened to her, this happened to him earlier in their life. And they say, this you don't have a chiyuv to tell, this you don't have a chiyuv to tell. But think about it. If in your relationship it's going to be something which is going to come out, how could it be so silly? Says the Chazon Ish, Rachman al-San, v'ataromes tishayer with kol ha-chayim. The ill will last for an entire lifetime. So indeed, it takes sense which is not so common. Seichel HaYosher. And often here we have, it's important to ask sometimes a Rav, not only because the Rav might know Halacha that way, better than you do, but often because life experience, you can sometimes see with a perspective involving not just oneself, but seeing situations play out over and over again, a professional's experience, a Rav's experience, not only from the Halacha perspective, but from the relationship approach, seeing what can happen if a person doesn't tell it, too many secrets often can ruin many relationships. Rachmana. What's that? So we've seen so far, on the one hand there's a requirement for the person who is a bystander to tell if it's a very serious concern. What about the person themselves, the chosin or the kala? Bit of a distraction in the postum, but the Chazon Ish, to me that's the most important line, because the Chazon Ish, use your head. if it's going to come out, how could you be so silly not to disclose it sometime or another? What if I get a phone call? Oh, I know you're a Rebbe in Yeshiva. You're a Rebbe of this Talmud. I'd like to know, 3 generations back, perhaps, did they maybe say Oi instead of O in his family? So, do I have to answer that? If I know? Is that something which is out of bounds? It's something which I'm definitely not mandated to report, but do I have to report it altogether? Says the Chafetz Chaim, very interesting situation. The Chafetz Chaim, as the postman pointed out, was talking about a different socio-cultural phenomenon. Says the Chafetz Chaim, there's one time I don't need to report anything. What's that? If I know this guy doesn't know how to read Aleph Beis, or doesn't know Shas Baal Peh, or doesn't know how to understand the Reb Chaim, if there's something to do with learning, I don't need to disclose it altogether. Matters of Torah don't need to be discussed. Why? Says the Chafetz Chaim, because what happens if a father-in-law wants to know if his future son-in-law knows how to learn? What do you do? If it really concerns him, he's not going to call up someone else and ask him. He'll go to the shul, to the Rav in Shtut, Rav in town, and ask him, give my chassan a faher. See if he knows how to learn. If the guy doesn't do it, that's his own fault. But that's not your job. Says the Chafetz Chaim, in matters of Torah, you don't need to disclose anything. That's the future father-in-law's job, to go to the Rav or to someone else and give him a bechina. It's not always so common nowadays, as the postman points out, but that is a yesod. And then they point out, it depends on what level you want. What level Talmud Chacham do you want? You want a person who knows how to read Aleph Beis, a person who knows Shas Baal Peh, a person who knows Yerushalmi Baal Peh also? What is your level? One of the contemporary sorim even points out a situation which unfortunately happened to him, and I know people that it happened to in America as well, that a potential father-in-law went to a reshiv and said, I have 2 daughters, I want your 2 best boys. So the reshiva said, I presume this person's going to help support, and he says, yes, I'll support them, I'll help them be involved in Torah. So found 2 great guys, they married 2 wonderful women, and after several years they were completely spoiled by the lavish lifestyle that the father-in-law and mother-in-law gave them. After several years, the father-in-law said to the sons-in-law, you know, it's been really wonderful supporting you, but I can't continue taking you on vacations to third world countries and to beautiful places every Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Shabbos. I can't, the gold faucets only last so long. That's my addition. That's not the story of the Sefer Rites. But the lavish lifestyle that you're having can't last so long. I needed help coming with my business. So they had no choice. They were totally accustomed to this new lifestyle. They had to come and work for the business. So this Shver met the Rosh Yeshiva after a while, that he helped him be the Shadchan. And the Rosh Yeshiva said to him, I don't understand. If you wanted 2 businessmen, I would have given you 2 businessmen. You asked me for 2 Talmidei Chachamim. For this, you need Talmidei Chachamim? Not my story. This is the story the way one of the contemporary Sharm quotes it. It happens in Eretz Israel. It happens in America as well. So each person, when they decide they want a Talmud Chacham, sometimes it's a status symbol. Oh, he knows how to learn well. Sometimes it's because you're really Machshav Torah. So it's the Chacham, whatever your status of Talmud Chacham is, you research yourself by bringing him to a person to give him a bechina. There's no need to disclose it. But this idea of Torah is very powerful, not just for Torah. It's powerful for a life lesson as well. Let's see the Chafetz Chaim inside. Says the Chafetz Chaim, bottom of page 3, source 1, Miut Chachmas HaTorah, if it's something to do with lack of Torah knowledge, there's no need to tell. Why? Number 1, Di'iyu Da'afsir Anafshe, because he is the one who is making himself lost. He's losing himself. He could have checked it himself. He didn't check. It's not your fault. He could have gone to the Rav and asked for a bechina. Should have brought him to people that know Torah. So we see 2 points from the Chafetz Chaim beyond Torah. Number 1, if there's something which is readily available for someone to know, it's not your job to jump and tell. We began this year with talking about mandated reporting. If you know something and they don't know it, you need to jump and tell them. Says the Chafetz Chaim, yeah, that's only if it's something which they wouldn't know without you. What if it's something people normally asked about? you can presume, if they didn't ask, they're being silly. It's not your job to save the day and be the hero. They're losing themselves. There's no need for you to jump. Similarly, what you see from the Chafetz Chaim also is that if there's any concern you have whatsoever, others might think it's legitimate or illegitimate, you are allowed to ask. So the Chafetz Chaim, there's no limit to the amount of questions a person is allowed to ask for a shidduch. Which means that if a person calls me up and asks me, did the grandparents pronounce a word one way or the other way, I might think it's silly. They're allowed to ask, and I'm required to answer. Now you might say, in terms of Eitz HaTovah, they're being stupid by asking. That's a separate issue. But it's in the province of someone, there's no problem of Lashon Hara, if they want to know what the b'shuz he wears, or what situation he has going home, however piercing it is, although I might not need to tell, if I'm asked, I must disclose. So we've seen that there are certain situations, if it's only up to me, I'm the one who, even if I'm not asked, I have to tell. But there, if I'm the one who's asked, no matter what it is, whatever runs the gamut, any situation, says the Chafetz Chaim, that a person is concerned about, and I'm asked, if I know, I must tell. Of course, I can't exaggerate. I have to be precise, I keep it in context, but I can tell directly. Ask away. You can ask whatever you want. It might not be prudent, but it's not a problem of Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim ends our discussion, the very end of Hilchos Rechiyos, the end of Sefer Chafetz Chaim, by saying, but just keep in mind, both when a person is disclosing something, there has to be some very serious rules. What are the rules? Rule number one, Sheis Vareslo. It has to be rock solid, clear. You can't say, well, I heard that maybe, you know, something happened once in some other community, maybe with these people, you know, I wouldn't go out with them because I would be concerned about that. No. Yes, barer. It has to be borer. You have to know. And knowing means 100%. Says the Chafetz Chaim number 2. This Be'er Mayim Chaim are the footnotes. That's the Chafetz Chaim Sosophos. So the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Number 2, on page 4. Shelo Yagdil Es Inyan Hamachala. Don't exaggerate. Be exact, be precise. Say the truth, the whole truth, but nothing but the truth. Don't exaggerate altogether. Number 3 is something which might seem pashut, yet time and time again, perhaps you can relate to this, people violate this. Ever have a situation where a person wants to go out with someone, and this person is divorced, but he happens to know, I know the guy she was married to, so I figure I can really find out what she's like. I'll ask the first husband. Or this girl was once engaged. Happens to be she was engaged to someone I know. I'll ask him. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Chacham the Manishtana. That's not what he says. He does say, number 3, Sheichavein, L'to'eles hamechutun, V'lo mitzad sinas hachasun. We can't have any nidias here altogether. There can be no personal vendetta. It has to be your total motivation is to help them build a bayis neman. Now, unfortunately, if a person is nedeh b'davar, if he has any act to grind against the person, how could you ask them? Not only is it silly, you're not going to get the truth. So the Chafetz Chaim, that's Lashon Hara. It has to be no emotional connection, completely and wholly for their benefit. And says the Chafetz Chaim, source number 4, rule number 4. What happens if you're going to say, you know, this person, I don't know, they daven every single day, they daven the 8 o'clock minyan. Can you imagine? They don't get at 6 o'clock, they wait to daven 8 o'clock. So most people are going to say, okay, no problem. But you're saying they daven 8 o'clock nebuch. So if it's not going to make or break the shidduch at all, there's no purpose in saying it, that's Lashon Hara. Says the Chafetz Chaim, she's bonin mitchila, you have to think beforehand, im tovo to elas midiburo. If it's going to become something that's going to come out of his words, if nothing's going to come which is proper, there's no point, don't say it. On the one hand, you have to be truthful. On the other hand, if there's no purpose whatsoever, just schmoozing, you can't say it altogether. There's a sefer called Mishnah HaShalom, a sefer who wrote a very, very extensive discussion of all Hilchos Dinat Mochavero. And he records in a footnote that there was someone in Eretz Yisrael that was called up about a friend of his. The friend was a total schlepper. He was, everything he did, was Nebuch, he was really turned topsy-turvy. So the person thought, honestly, I have to say something about my friend. So he said, the Ivrit, they asked him, what do you think about this person? So he said, Hakol Mishuneh. Everything is strange. Everything is different. Everything is unique with him. And the person felt obligated to say it. A few weeks later, he gets a phone call. We'd like to invite you to the L'chaim of your friend and our daughter. He thinks he heard wrong. He says, what do you mean? I said, black on white, that everything with him is weird. He says, well, stranger things have happened. He went to the L'chaim. At the L'chaim, he gave him such a shalom aleichem. Thank you so much for the advice. We appreciate what you said. He said, what do you mean? So, well, listen. You told us that his voice is different. Shachol, Mishuneh, Kuf, Avamet, his voice is different. We said, you know what? We're going on a date. My daughter went on a date with him. She said, you know what? His voice is a little bit crackly, but it doesn't bother her. And they now are engaged. So the Sefer just points out, something you see, he wrote it in the Sefer, Halacha Maisa. Kol Mishuneh. The voice is different. This person thought he was breaking the Shirach Adamri. Everything is changed. But actually, they weren't mocked. What you consider topsy-turvy, they consider he's going with the flow. He's a nice guy. So, the Chavetz Chaim's point is very well taken. You have to realize, do these people really care? You can't just schmooze about people. You have to be very mocked exactly what's going on. What we have the zechus to discuss tonight is the very, very weighty issue of self-disclosure and disclosure about others as far as Shidduchim. On the one hand, we began with the Chavetz Chaim that said, Im hu roeh, even if another person sees, he's mandated to report. But only chesronos asumim, very, very serious concerns. Even if he's not asked, says the Chavetz Chaim, for example, something that you might only know, that no one else knows, an internal concern. The Chavetz Yair says, what about noses or things like that? Depends on osu makam, osu zman, depends on your locale. What do people consider chesronos? What do they don't consider chesronos? There's no way of using a proof text. It's a societal norm. And you have to be very wary of what the societal norm is. Says the Stipler, barring a chisaron otsum, a major serious concern, there's no need to disclose. As long as they wouldn't totally break the shidduch because of it, no need to talk about it. And he brings a proof. We gave advice to a person whose father was a non-Jew to go somewhere else they don't know is Yuchsin. Says the Yashiv, no, that's only matters of perception. But if it is a real physical concern, you must disclose it, even if it's not so major. And the approach of Rav Moshe seems to codify, but it's an idea that Rav Shafter says, Rav Will says, many other poskim in Svarim write, with no clear text necessarily that seems to say it, that you must keep in context. Even if you're the dater, or the datee, or a person who's a third party, or maybe even a shadchan, if you're distrusting it, then you need to keep it in context. You shouldn't say it in the beginning. There's a bit of a discussion. Maybe a shadchan has a special code of honesty that he or she must say right away. Discussion in the postum, there's no clear evidence one way or the other. Some say a shadchan must disclose right away no matter what because they're relying on him. Others say a shadchan also has the same idea of waiting, keep in context. But barring a shadchan, a person who's going out on a date or a third party cannot tell earlier because they're actually distorting. That's not the truth. We talked about the mysterious Rav Moshe in part 3 that says that if it's a very, very small suffix, if a woman might unfortunately never be able to have a child, but she's not sure, there's no need to tell. It's very perplexing because people would want to know about that. It seems Rav Moshe seems to say that if it's a very, very small concern, there's no need to disclose it altogether. The Chazon Ish points out, which I, in my humble opinion, is the most important klal, even without Chazon Ish saying it in this entire discussion, is that halacha goes so far. If it's going to chas v'shalom ruin a relationship sometime in the future, you have to be silly not to tell. You're undermining shalom bias before it even starts. And the Chavetz Chaim points out, even though there's a halacha as far as what a person has to tell or not, if you're asked, you need to tell anything. If the question is posed to you, you must answer it quite clearly. And he points out, a person can do due diligence by bringing a chassan to a person who's learning Torah, and if they don't, then that's their fault. They can ask anyone to do a bechina, they can ask any question they want. We ended off with the Chavetz Chaim's 4 rules. What are the 4 rules? Number 1, it has to be truthful. Number 2, they have to be exact. Number 3, it has to be not sinna, they can't distort it at all. And number 4, it has to be there's a toilet, there's a real purpose. People are going to accomplish based upon your words. Tomorrow, on Chof Tammuz, when I had both the Zechus as well as the Nisayon of being masked, Imi Marasi, Marasi Chavit Pesha Vas Hillel, Aleh HaShalom, of saying unspeakable words of Hesed, my dear mother, I began by discussing that I grew up with people saying to me, Shmuel, you have your mother's smile. And indeed, those that knew my mother, those that know my mother through me, or through Gila, or Eliezer, or Devorah, see the smile. The smile which transcended the joy of life, the happiness of the everyday. A smile which is personified by Shlomo HaMelech. In a pasuk we say every single Friday night. So Shlomo HaMelech, part 7, the hope, source 1. Oz v'hadar levusha. Strength and grandeur are her garments. Batischa, and she smiles and laughs. L'yom acharon, until the last day. Says Rashi, what does it mean, till the last day? This is not a vart, this is Rashi on Mishle. Says Rashi, kol yameha, she laughs, she smiles, ad yom misasa, until the day of her p'tira. Sheinichbad b'shem tov, because she is honored with a good name. And Rashi points out again, Rashi reiterates this. Very seldom does Rashi reiterate a point twice in the same pasuk. Liyom acharon, what does it mean, the last day? Biyom mosa nifteres b'shem tov. On the day of her p'tira, she's nifter. It's a good name. A name that for the four of us, they were privileged to be her children. To my father, who was privileged to be her husband. A name that stood for tremendous love of chinuch, of Torah, of mitzvos, of people, seeing them as individuals, helping them through tough times, enhancing people's lives, giving, always opening her house, being a person who smiled, not just because she had joie de vivre, simchas achayim, but because she knew what was important in life. Each of us, me, my two sisters and my brother, have lives that are slightly similar and slightly different. Yet we learned our priorities, our hashtafa, our approach to life, our approach that one has to be steadfast to Torah, was our chinuch. The simcha of mitzvos, enjoying each day in life, were some of the lessons we learned from Imeinu Maraseinu, Marasu Chavit Pesha, Asilel, and Yibadu L'chaim Tovim Aruchim, as your father. The vacuum that exists in our lives can't be expressed. As Rav Aaron Soloveitchik points out, that there are two ways of expressing emotion in the English language. We have literature, prose, and poetry. In literature, in prose, a person tries to convey emotion as much as he can. But in poetry, part of the emotion is in the meter, in the rhyme, in the rhythm. That's not something only in English. We have this as well in poetry in the Chumash. Az Yashir, There's so much missing in us, Yashir. So much of the emotion we feel as Masa Yadei Tavim Bayam, as Hashem thrashed the Mitzrayim in the Yamsuf, we can't encapsulate it in words as well. And the vacuum we feel in our family after our mother's passing, likewise, cannot be encapsulated. All those that knew her, they feel it as well. All those that know her through us, or share Torah with us tonight, also know that we miss very greatly a very special person in our lives. At the same time, we're propelled to be the best that we can be, the best Shmuel, the best Gila, the best Eliezer, and the best Devorah, through the love, caring, concern, and commitment that our mother had to us. Indeed, I was proud to grow up as Shmuel. You have your mother's smile. And although I wasn't, it was an isayon to see Yom HaCharon come so soon, it's encouraging to me that indeed, this was Mami. But Tishchak Yom HaCharon, V'yomosa, she had her smile. And as we discussed the concept of Shidduchim, and how for ourselves as well as others to advise people to build a Bayis Neman B'Yisrael, it's important to keep in mind the Gemara in the very beginning of Shas, the Gemara in Brachos Davav, that says that a person who is privileged to be Mesamechas and Mekala, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Omer, Ki'u Bana Achas Michuvos Yerushalayim, it's as if we built one of the ruins of Yerushalayim HaKadosh. We should be Zoche at this time, which al pi ashnazit minog, cannot have any chasim mekala getting married. So see, the time that both Klal Yisrael, with all our nisyonos, as well as individuals that had nisyonos, are privileged to see simchas chasim mekala, not only in a minor sense in galus, but seeing bit by bit, bana achas. Mechubos Yerushalayim, the Churbanos of Yerushalayim, the Churbanos of life, be built as Tisha B'Av is a Yontif, as Shavuos B'Tammuz is a Yontif, and as Chaf Tammuz is also a day that, blessed Hashem, we can dance with our mother. We can all dance together in the streets of Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, B'Vinyan, Bayis HaShlishi, B'Mehera, B'Yamei. B'Chananya, Tashi Amar, Rasta Kadosh Baruch Hu was out of Israel.